See, they're excited about going to church, aren't they? All right. I think it's safe now. Y'all feel safe? Okay, good. I feel safe. Of course, I'm up here. Hey, it's good to be with you this morning. You know, I'm going to let you know that next week, Chuck Kalicheski will be here ministering, and we're excited about that. We had scheduled Chuck to come a long time ago, and actually he was here in May. Of course, he's here quite a bit, and Suzanne, who played a piano, is his wife, and then Catherine, and he's got a whole extended family, Trey and Elizabeth and grandsons and a new grandchild. And so anyway, but he'll be here next week, and so we're looking forward to having Chuck here. And after that, I'm going to take a little bit of vacation, and Dan Williams will be speaking that following Sunday, and then I'll be back. And I'm actually, I have to tell you something that we're going to switch gears, all right? Now, that's right, friend. Y'all remember that when we started the beginning of the year, we were saying that we were going to be ministering. Our emphasis was going to be on how we should live. And the Lord is really, speaking to us and to the leadership. We got together with our wives. And so we want to begin to focus on engagement, all right? Now, engagement is a term that young people like if they're dating and they're thinking about, hey, this could be, the right young man or the right young woman. And this is a part of it, right? But really the engagement that we're talking about is engaging in spiritual life. And so we're very excited as we move forward. We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit in some of these series. And so I'm looking forward to it. Again, you're going to hear. Fred and I are going to do probably a small series, which will probably happen in the fall. And so I'm looking forward to that. And just a lot of good things that God is doing here in our church family. This morning, I want to preach to you the first part of a message that I actually was going to preach last week, and there's a little bit of change in the scripture. If you go back and look in the bulletin, you'll see that I changed the text for this morning. But I want to talk about new identity, new activity. New identity, new activity. And I'm only going to get through the new identity this morning, okay? And so I'm going to continue to be preaching around this emphasis probably for just a little bit. And I want to acknowledge that I'm going to be reading this morning from Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20. I want to acknowledge a series that there were, I believe, 9 of us that did with Dr. Pete Sanchez a few years ago called Preaching for Health. And a part of that curriculum that we did, there was also a book in there and a study that we did called Making Peace. So I want to acknowledge those as well as a part of probably these messages that I'm going to be preaching in the very near future. So let's look at Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And you knew if he was going to ask them what people were saying, he's going to ask them this question, "But what about you?" And he asked, I had trouble with significant last week. Now I'm having trouble with who. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. Now, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? I mean, they have a great revelation, Peter does, and he, you know, and obviously he's not the only one, you know, and Jesus is saying to Peter, listen, you didn't get that on your own. The Father revealed that to you, and then he goes ahead and talks to him, and at the end, then he warns them not to tell anyone that he is the Christ. That's interesting, isn't it? And we'll talk some more about that in this series of messages. You know, Matthew 16 is very important because if you look at it, you see in Jesus' ministry here on earth that there is increasing opposition to his messianic ministry from the Jewish leaders towards him, towards the disciples. And there are political threats. We're living in that kind of time, aren't we? There are political threats to our faith and our walk and our freedom that we have. And those local political threats were really gaining strength from the various areas that he's going through. And so you see what Jesus is beginning to do if you read on. And you see as he is trying to prepare his disciples to be sure that they know who he is. And that they know what his mission is. Now they've been together and they've seen a lot of things. And they have been open. And what they have seen, that he is the prophet, compassionate healer. He's the Son of God. He's the supplier of needs to the Jews and to the Gentiles. And sometimes they forgot that, didn't they? That he also supplied the needs to the Gentiles because they were Jewish. He's a true teacher of God's word. And he's the anointed Messiah that has come to save God's people from their sin. And yet, as he traveled through the various places that he went to minister, we know, because the scripture says that the religious leaders, the Jewish religious leaders, and the people, the citizens that lived in many of these communities, that there were a lot of them that rejected who he was. Why did they do that? It was because of their hardness of heart. As we've talked about before, and you know this, he did not meet their expectations of what the Messiah was to be. And so they continue to live with hardness of heart. And you know, one thing that we sometimes, those of us who are not Jewish, because we look at that and we say, well, you know, the Jewish people rejected the Messiah. That them being the chosen people, the chosen nation. But do you understand that God wants all of us, all of creation, every person that's been born to have a relationship with him. And yet there are many, even in our country today, that don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, as much freedom as we have. I was looking at something earlier in the week, and it was talking about, and it was this publication, a Christian publication, was probably put out maybe, you know, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. And so anyway, it was talking about at that time that there were over 10,500 religions in the world. Now, so what I'm saying to us is, you know, the Jewish people struggled with the Messiah. And we say, well, wow, you know, we wouldn't do that because we're all here today because probably most of us here have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and we believe that he is the Son of God. But you see in our world, with all the resources that we have and all the history and all the books and that you can go on the internet, I mean, if we wanted to right now, and actually this scripture came off the internet and was sent electronically to that computer in the back, and you're watching it. And with all those resources we have, there are still over 10,000 religions in the world. Which begs us to look at the question, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Richard Hoggett did a series of concerts with John Michael Talbot. And a lot of y'all may not know who that is unless you were here. Fred, I guess he's a Catholic artist, musical artist. He's done probably, 2,000 CDs. No, not really. He's done a lot. But he made a statement when he was singing. And he made this statement. He said, you know, a lot of people, they don't have a problem with God, but they do have a problem with Jesus. And then when we start talking about the Holy Spirit, they even have more of a problem with the Holy Spirit. And it's a good question, isn't it? Who do people say that the Son of Man is? But the question that Jesus is always looking to ask is, who do you say that I am? This morning, I want to talk about new identity. Because what Jesus did is Jesus was in his ministry, he was trying to help his disciples and every person that he ministered to, that they might see that he was the Son of God, the Messiah, that God had sent to save his people from their sins. Salvation is an interesting thing because we come to God, we're drawn to God by the Holy Spirit, by his word, and many times by the fact that people who love God and serve God are instrumental in the work of the gospel salvation ministry. But yet there is a one-to-one relationship. There is a one-to-one decision that if you are here today and you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you were called by the Holy Spirit. There was something in God's word that you heard. And there probably was somebody that was either praying for you or around you that was helping you, or certainly has helped you since you came to know Jesus Christ. But our identity is not in just ourselves alone, isn't it? Our new identity is actually in the Spirit-formed community that believes in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me read that to you again. Our new identity is in the Spirit-formed community that believes in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our identity is not based on personality. You hear what I'm saying? I mean, there are a lot of people in this church that have tremendous personality. People have, you could work with people and they can have great personalities. They can do great things. But it doesn't mean that they have received the new identity in their life where they believe in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, our identity is not based on gifts of a man or woman, right? I mean, a lot of times, people will say, what church do you go to? And you say, you may not say this, but I'm just going to use myself. I go to Dennis Jameson's church. You know, so, and there's probably a few of you that might say that, but that's not really accurate because you belong to Christ. It's more likely that someone would say, in responding to that question, what church do you go to? Oh, I go to Joel Osteen's church. I mean, they'd rather say, hey, I go to Joel Osteen's church than say Dennis Jameson, because nobody knows who Dennis Jameson is except for, maybe a little over a couple hundred people right here. But you understand, our identity is not based. I mean, the people that go to Lakewood, their identity is not based on Joel Osteen. It's not based on his personality. It's not based on the fact, and I'm not criticizing Joel at all. I'm saying, but a lot of times we identify ourselves with people's personalities. We don't mean to, but the truth is we need to find our identity in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and realize that we are a community, that we're not out like just individuals and lone rangers that are out there. How many of y'all know who the Lone Ranger is? Wow, that wasn't a very good example because a lot of y'all don't know who the Lone Ranger is. In other words, you're not out there just by yourself. It's not just you and Jesus. And a lot of people in the church, unfortunately, have that mindset. You know, and that's what I was praying this morning. It does matter what you do, right? It matters what you do. I mean, the word community has the word what? Unity in it. And Jesus wasn't just doing, he wasn't just doing something for Peter that he wasn't putting him up on a pedestal, right? I mean, there were a whole group of disciples and people that were probably following along that were in the way that they were following Jesus. And each one of them had to have the same revelation that Peter had. And then when they do that, they become a community. We are a community. spirit formed, not by personality and not by gifts, but by the Spirit forming in us, God's Word, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and the community of faith. And what did he say to Peter? He said, you didn't come to understand this by human knowledge. See, the danger in the church today, and it's been this way, this isn't something new, but if a church or a group of believers really identifies itself around one leader or even a few individuals that demonstrate knowledge and experience of gifts alone, the church's identity can become tied to the ego and the self-esteem of the leader or those few gifted individuals. Now, that's really kind of a translation from James Van Wyperen, who wrote the book Making Peace. We did a leadership conference, and some of y'all were here. We did a leadership Saturday, a workshop. And we watched a video by T.D. Jakes. It was excellent. And one of the things that T.D. Jakes said was this: I need for you to mess up. I need for you to have problems. I need for your, I'm building on what he said. He probably didn't say all this, but this was his point. Because I need you to do that so that my self-esteem and my ego is met. It's fulfilled. That's what he said. Now, Jim and Peggy have a friend, Melvin Adams. He calls me the white T.D. Jakes. I don't know why. And not because I'm anywhere close to that kind of preacher, But you understand, I respect T.D. Jakes. And he's got a very fruitful, very productive ministry. But he said that. And I thought, you know what, God, that's true in my life. That even served, that I have to watch, I have to be close to the leadership team, to my pastor, and to the men that I'm accountable to. Because there is that in me, right, where my self-esteem and my ego. I mean, Kata says, you don't have an ego. I go, oh, yeah, I got some ego in there. You understand what I'm saying to us? We're a community that's been spirit-formed. Our identity is in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we gather this morning, and when we gather, whether we gather on Wednesday nights, the youth, or you gather in, the Monday night gathering, or the Lowry's gathering, the Friday night gathering, am I missing one? Yeah, anyway, some other gatherings. I mean, simply, and I know people don't want to hear this, we are gathering as sinners who have been saved by the grace of God. And may we never forget it. That's where our identity is, and people say, oh, I don't want to talk about my past. No, I mean, there are things that God delivered me from. I can think of things and thoughts and mindsets that I had, as a boy, that God has shown me, hey, that's not right. That's not according to God's word. And so what happens is that there's something that is, I'm being reformed on the inside, and my mind has to change, and I have to line up with God's word, because the identity that I have is in Jesus Christ. In John, it talks about, in Genesis, it talks about that that the world was created by what? By breath, by the Word. And Jesus is the Word. I can't live my life if I say my identity is in the Lord Jesus Christ, His life, His death, and His resurrection. Then it can't be on my human understanding. It has to be on God's Word. And the problem that the church is having is that what we do is we take a little bit of the Bible, and then we take a little bit of what the world says in our own carnal knowledge, and we mix it up. We make like this salad thing, and we go, wow, this is pretty good. We think it's healthy. And we know that we're supposed to do certain things. So we put those things out on the table. I'm going to be kind to Fred when he comes up to me and says, I didn't agree with what you preached on today. I mean, he doesn't do that. He would, right? You would. He would. See? He would. But he would do it in a loving way. He wouldn't go walk around the church and say, Dennis is a terrible pastor. He's preaching stuff that's not true. He would come to me and talk to me. You know why? Because he knows he's a sinner that's saved by grace. He knows that he's a part of the community of faith that's been spirit formed. And you know, and Fred tells you clearly, the spiritual formation is not complete in his life. And if you get around Fred, you know that. Charlotte knows it even better than the rest of us. And that's okay. Why do we hide? Because of our self-esteem, our ego. Because the truth is that we take a little bit of God's word and we have a mixture of our old nature, and then we take things that the world says and we buy into it. And we come and we hear a message, and many people, and not any of you, okay? Not any of you, but people come and they're going to gather in churches and they hear, you know, they hear a message and they go out, and it's like a religious fix. It's like, you know, giving yourself a drug. I feel good about what I've done. You know? I was watching yesterday, we were watching Northland Community Church, where Clarissa is working as an intern along with a number of other students. And, you know, it's a seeker-friendly church. It's pretty interesting. And so anyway, you know, it's not, I don't believe they believe in the gifts of the Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, any of that. But we watched the worship time and the whole service. And I'm going to tell you, I was sitting in our front room with Kata, and I was in tears. Because even though, you know, they may not believe exactly as we do, the presence of God was there. Why can I sit in my front room and be a part of that? And a lot of people are. That's their church. And the presence of God be so strong in my front room that I'm crying. It's because there's something that Spirit formed in me. Because I have an identity, even though my connection with them somehow is right through the internet. But you see, and that, I mean, that's a good thing, but God wants us to be around one another. God wants me to be with Fred. God wants me to be with Clay. God wants me to be, you know, a friend to Sandra and to Dominic, to walk with them. Why? Because we're connected. Our identity is in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:20 says it very clearly. It says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But what? But Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You realize, I mean, last week we celebrated our Declaration of Independence for this nation. And I had a note because part of this message was actually originally geared for that day. But this is our Declaration of Independence. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What Peter and the disciples were seeing is the salvation story being lived out in front of their eyes. And who better than to take it, because they had been open to it, where others around them had not. And I want to say something historically that I see in my studies, because a lot of times, you know, you may believe that there weren't Jewish people that were saved. I mean, outside of, you know, what you see, but there were. And there were many Jewish people at that time that were saved. There were a lot that rejected Jesus as the Messiah. So it's important for us to realize where our identity is. And that identity is not just for me and Jesus, that I'm just connected to Jesus by myself. And it's a lot easier. You know, it's easier to go and get in your front room and turn on the computer and watch a service. Now, I'm not criticizing that. I mean, the presence of God was there. The pastor gave just a really great teaching. And I'm going to go down there and to visit, okay? I'm just going to be visiting. I'm not going to be. Actually, Clarissa was neat because they sang the song, a Revelation song, and she actually did the responsive reading in that. You know how they have that part, you know? You know what the Revelation song is? You do. Rachel, can you can just give them a quick... You can do it, can't you? Yeah. Just so they'll know. That's great. You know, and I just was in tears over that. I mean, one, yes, because we were just sitting there, and all of a sudden we hear Clarissa's voice coming through the computer. She didn't tell us that, but I was thinking about it because I knew I was going to be preaching on this. But the revelation, and that's what Jesus was saying to Peter. Hey, that revelation didn't come by human understanding. It came from my Father, and that's how you got it. See, the kingdom of God is built here on earth. How? It's built here on earth as a man or a woman or a young person or even, you know, maybe an older child. When they put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, they begin the process of being reconciled to God through all of that. That's how the kingdom is built. That's why Brother Charles talks about building the kingdom one person at a time. That's why, you know, you know, we have to be careful because we become so performance-oriented that when we look and we say, wow, you know, we got all these people coming to church. But are they being transformed? Do they have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? God works through things very patiently, and He desires, and His plan is for us to change and not just to practice. I mean, hey, we can be just as indifferent and hard-hearted as the religious leaders and the Jewish people were when Jesus was doing miracles and preaching and teaching in their midst. Remember when Adam and Eve disobeyed in the garden, they were actually reaching for equality with God, weren't they? Instead of living in community with Him and with one another, and so God came looking for them in the garden. And where were they? They were hiding in their shame. Maddox, my grandson, when he comes over to our house, and he's doing better. I mean, he's growing. There's something good happening in him. I trust, I pray that it will continue, all right? And, you know, I'm just grateful when he comes here to the Awana Club, and I'm watching his mom being more consistent with him, and that's all good things, and we pray for him. But you know what? Every once in a while, he's usually good for about a day, and then he'll do something really crazy. And sometimes what he does is in the dining room table, he likes to go in there and play. But when he's in trouble sometimes, he goes and he hides under that table because he doesn't want to be with us. He doesn't want to be in the community of faith with his Yaya and his Papa right now. And so what we have to do is we have to call him out of there. And tell him, listen, you know, that's not where you need to be, hiding in, you know, in disrespect and disobedience and all those things. I mean, we're trying to teach him, look, you know, this is what God does in your heart. He calls you out of that place. Get out from underneath that table and get in the light. Come back to relationship. It's really not that difficult. I mean, we're grandparents. We're not parents, you know, and grandparents are... At least most grandparents are a lot more gracious with their grandchildren than probably they were with their children. I know we are. You know, here's a Snicker bars. Come out from under that table. You know, no, we don't do that. Because if his mom found out we did... It's terrible when you get a lecture from your kids about parenting. Y'all? Oh. See, I thought, as you got older, I don't want to digress. Help me here, Dan. You know, you and I could digress together, but you're not up here in the conversation, so I'm all alone. But, you know, man, I thought as you got older and with your kids that things would get easier, you know, and that they would continue to respect you and all those kind of things. What's that? Not going to happen. You're right. I mean, it is so hard for me to take a lecture from my daughter about parenting. Y'all pray for me, okay? I'm just confessing a weakness that I have in my life. But someone said that the church is comprised of people called out by God in Christ through the power and active indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. The identity that we have in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ helps us to understand and to be empowered to live in the new activity that we're going to talk about in the very near future. Douglas Moo, who is an author and professor that I study sometimes, wrote this statement. It says, "Possessing the Spirit is the mark of being a new covenant believer, and his ministry must be basic to any description of what it means to be a Christian." Okay? So you're going to hear this from us a lot, and that is this. It takes the ministry of God's Word and the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the ministry and the service that you have through being connected to the community of faith that brings change into your life. If we ignore those, we are really ignoring the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the truth is that as I said earlier, for most of us, certainly God's Word and the Spirit, you know, are working together to bring all of us in. And most of us had somebody that was already a believer who influenced us. Maybe if it was just the fact that your mom or dad took you to church and fought through the thing of getting, you know, and I don't know, you know, a bunch of kids up and getting you ready to go. There was something of God's Word and something of God's Spirit and the life that they live. And they didn't live a perfect life. My parents did. None of us. We all miss the mark. We all sin. But listen, God does good things through all that. And that's how we change. And we can't back away. You can't disengage. And that's the problem, that people come to church and they're not really engaged in spirit life. They're not really engaged in growing. And so what happens is they begin to take in all these things. And so you go back to what I said earlier. You have a little bit of God's Word, a little bit of our old nature influencing us, and the deception of the world. Our vision statement here at Christ Covenant Church is to become an authentic biblical community who embody the love and the life of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the vision that God has given to us. In closing this morning, I want to ask you that question. Who do you say that Jesus really is? Who is Jesus in your life? And you say, "Pastor Dennis, I'm a believer. I love the Lord. I believe that salvation has been extended in my life." But there are a lot of Christians that are out there that have come to that point. Or they go a little further. Or it may be that, you know, you're in a season of your life where you just kind of come and you just kind of pull back. Your new identity is in the Spirit-formed community that believes in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not based in personality. It's not based in gifts. And no matter how great a leader may be or a pastor may be or somebody that you see, our identity is in Christ. It's in the crucified Christ. That I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's pray. Father, we have come for prayer. Lord, we have cried out to you. We have asked for your help this morning already. So, Father, I pray for people, Lord. I pray for any person that may not be here without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you've never invited the Lord, if you've never believed in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to ask you to do that personally. And if you don't do it today, then I want to ask you to consider doing it in the future. Father, I pray for anyone here today that doesn't know you through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the power of your grace. I thank you for salvation. Lord, I pray also for all of us. I pray, Lord, that we would live our lives, Lord, that we would be engaging in your word and in your spirit, but Lord, also in the community of faith. Lord, that we would build relationships. Lord, help us not to be religious. Lord, help us not to think that repentance and salvation somehow is a part of, Lord, that we can do a bunch of works to earn your grace. Lord, we can't. We just can't, God. I can't be good enough. None of us can, Lord. All of us are in the same place. So would you, Lord, you have provided all that we need. And I pray, Father, that we'd be stirred by your Spirit, Lord, that we would be hungry for your word. And, Lord, that we would be committed, Lord, to making commitments and following through, living a life of just confessing and repenting and asking your Spirit to help us all, Lord, that we might become biblically authentic, a community that's Spirit-formed, that's demonstrating the love and the life of Christ. That's our prayer this morning, God. Would you help us all? I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I have one thing to tell you before you go, and thank you for being here today.